In today's news headlines, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Turkey meeting with that nation's president and foreign minister over the murder of Washington Post columnist and Saudi Arabian dissident Jamal Khashoggi. The trip is likely to be an awkward one given the Trump administration's insistence on believing Saudi innocence, at the same time as Turkish authorities say they have evidence that Saudi operatives committed the murder at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. A Turkish newspaper printed a full account of the murder based on secret recordings. Secretary Pompeo did not comment on the report. Here in the United States, the online media outlet Middle East Eye on Tuesday published what it says are the first details of the murder, based on a Turkish source who listened to the full recording of the slaying. The source relayed that Salah Mohammed Al-Tubaigi, who has been identified as the head of forensic evidence in the Saudi General Security Department, led the gruesome murder of Khashoggi, who was injected with a substance that immobilized him. He was then killed in the span of 7 minutes with a bone saw while he was still alive. The murderers apparently listened to music on their headphones while committing the act. In an interview with Associated Press on Tuesday, President Trump continued to dig in his heels about Saudi innocence, saying, quote, "Well, I think we have to find out what happened first. Here we go again with, you know, you're guilty until proven innocent. I don't like that. We just went through that with Justice Kavanaugh, and he was innocent all the way." Separately, Associated Press reported that Saudi Arabia is paying influential lobbyists, lawyers, and public relations experts nearly $6 million a year to engage U.S. officials and promote the Middle East nation, even after three Washington firms cut ties with the kingdom following the disappearance of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. With just a few weeks before the November 6th midterm elections, two major debates on Tuesday highlighted close battles between Republicans and Democrats. In Texas, incumbent Republican Senator Ted Cruz debated Democratic challenger Beto O'Rourke, who has raised a tremendous amount of money, but whose poll numbers have slipped in recent days. Cruz now holds a 7-point lead over O'Rourke. Here is a clip of Beto O'Rourke from Tuesday's debate, singling out how Cruz voted for last year's GOP tax cuts.
And for Senator Cruz to say that this isn't going to bust the budget at a time of $21 trillion in debt, when we're on track to deficit spend to the tune of $1 trillion a year, he voted to add $2 trillion. And those tax cuts disproportionately will flow to corporations who are already sitting on record piles of cash and the already wealthy in a country that is riven with income inequality unseen since the last Gilded Age. Why? In the days just before and just after that vote, Senator Cruz accepted $120,000 from the political action committees who represent the corporate interests that benefited from this tax cut. Why does he vote for this? Why does he vote for internet companies to sell your private browsing data to the highest bidder without your consent? Why does he not vote for universal background checks in a country that loses 30,000 people to gun violence every year? Follow the money. In each of these cases, if you look at the Political Action Committee contributions to Senator Cruz, it helps to explain the reasons for his vote and how corrupted Congress has become. I don't take PAC money, not a dime. I always
have your time.
That's Texas Senate candidate Beto O'Rourke challenging Ted Cruz on Tuesday during a televised debate. A second debate between two rivals for an Arizona Senate seat also took place on Tuesday between Representatives Kyrsten Sinema and Martha McSally, both of whom are vying to fill the Senate seat being vacated by Jeff Flake. During one of the most intense moments of the debate, Republican McSally attacked her Democratic opponent with a charge of treason for a statement made on the radio in 2003.
Kyrsten, what came out last week, CNN reported that in 2003, while she was on the radio, you said it was okay for Americans to join the Taliban to fight
against us. You said you had no problem with that. We're running out of time, but we have to let you respond to that. I want to ask right now whether
you're going to apologize to the veterans and me for saying it's okay to commit treason.
We are running out of time, so we got to get a response.
Well, we need a response because she owes us an apology.
Please.
Well, Martha has chosen to run a campaign like the one you're seeing right now.
It's
where
treason.
She's engaging in ridiculous attacks and smearing my campaign. And she's just trying to cut and not share the full picture. But the truth is that I've always fought for Arizona, and I have been proud to serve our state in elected office for over 13 years.
That's Democratic Representative Kyrsten Sinema responding to her rival Martha McSally during a debate as they made their case to voters ahead of a race for the Senate seat being vacated by Arizona Senator Jeff Flake. According to Reuters, Sinema's politics have changed since she was first elected in 2013. She joined a moderate Democratic coalition and has one of the more conservative voting records among Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives. That has not kept McSally from bringing up Sinema's liberal past as she tries to galvanize Trump supporters in a state he won in 2016. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Tuesday reacted to news of the ballooning federal deficit that was created by tax giveaways to the rich and higher military spending by saying that social safety net programs need to be cut. McConnell said, quote, "I think it's pretty safe to say that entitlement changes, which is a real driver of the debt by any objective standard, may well be difficult if not impossible to achieve when you have a unified government." He used the term entitlement to describe Medicare and Social Security, a favorite conservative phrase. Critics of last year's GOP tax cuts predicted that the reduced tax revenues would be offset by Republican-led cuts to social safety net programs. Indeed, Republicans appear to be battling an effective Democratic talking point that the tax cuts have only helped the wealthy. An African-American man has died in police custody in Silicon Valley, California. Chinedu Valentine Okobi, a 36-year-old father and a graduate of Morehouse College, was driving in his car and then tackled by police after he encountered San Mateo County sheriffs. The officers apparently tackled him when he went into cardiac arrest and then died. The victim's sister, Ebele Okobi, is a prominent Facebook executive and is demanding an investigation into the police handling of her brother, whose death took place only a few miles from her workplace at Facebook. Ms. Okobi told USA Today, "There's a part of me that's angry that this is the reality for everybody black I know, and that people can live completely oblivious to that reality." Officials from the Centers for Disease Control on Tuesday announced the advent of a dangerous disease that is impacting children around the nation. Acute flaccid myelitis, or AFM, is a debilitating disease reminiscent of polio that has so far appeared in 127 confirmed or suspected cases in the United States. The condition is rare and, like polio, can cause paralysis. The number of cases has doubled since last year. According to the Washington Post, of the cases announced Tuesday, 62 have been confirmed in 22 states. More than 90% of the confirmed cases have been in children 18 and younger, with the average age being 4 years old. Additionally, there's no specific treatment for the disorder, and long-term outcomes are unknown. Well, that does it for our headlines today.